Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crap Ins, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker. You can also find me on the Game Brain podcast. And joining me is the one and only Ronnie Karam. What's going on, Ronnie?
Well, hi, Ben.
How are things in Texas today?
Oh, they're just great. My little caterpillars are growing. They finally got into their little cocoons.
Very exciting.
Very cute. So my little family's coming along, Ben. Got little teenagers, okay? One minute they're children, the next minute they're big old butterflies. I just can't wait. I thought I might have killed one because it fell off the roof, basically. Yeah. Like, it climbs up on the top and then it fell down. And I really see how I would be as a parent because I'm like, loser. Like, of course that one fell. You know, it's like the last one to get up there. It's like been taking its time. It refuses to eat as much as the other ones. It's just like sickly. You know, it's like that kid that you just put in soccer just so you could like get back in the car with your husband and secretly make fun of that kid later on the ride home, you know?
Yeah, of course.
It's just like a sickly little thing. But I thought it was dead, but it wasn't. I mean, it was in its little shell, and I picked it up with some tongs, and it started shaking its shell, and which was really exciting and scary because I didn't know that they did that. I thought they went to like a comatose state or something, but they don't.
Well, maybe the ones that are actually like functional caterpillars do, and this guy's like, shut up, mother.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. But you have to take off the lid of the, so they grow in this like little plastic jar, and then once they're on the top and they're in their cocoons and they're hanging, you take off the lid. Well, it's scary taking off the lid because you don't want them to fall off the thing, you know.
Yeah.
So I was doing it like super carefully, and then I was walking to the little butterfly net that they grow up in, and you know, I was shaking because I'm like Bigfoot carrying these little tiny things, and so I'm sure they were feeling like, oh, 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 oh.
As I was trying to sleep here. Get out of my dressing room.
All the three that were hanging on there started shaking at the same time, like moving the. I mean, it was crazy. I was like, you bitchy little things. But, you know, got them in there. Just very excited to see how they turn out.
Well, I wonder if, like, the cocoon that fell, like, I wonder how important it is to actually be hanging in a cocoon. Is it purely just supposed to be like a defense thing, like they're a little safer if they're hanging, or is there some sort of biological, you know, need they get from dangling there? Because if it's just defense, then, you know, then he's fine on the ground because, you know, you're not, unless Bueller decides to, you know, unleash some sort of strange, you know, Chihuahua pitbull fantasy on that cocoon, I think it'll be safe. So, you know, I'm very excited. You know, it's funny because I have some caterpillar news also, which is that I was tending to my little herb garden. And there was a fucking caterpillar on my dill. And I was like, who the fuck are you, you beautiful caterpillar? It was a beautiful caterpillar. It was like, had neon green bands. And like, it was like neon green and black and neon green.
Oh, those are the poisonous ones. I hope you didn't touch it.
Well, of course I didn't touch it because I felt it. I felt the poison vibe. I was like, you're beautiful. You sort of look like you're from the 90s. But I also feel like you might hurt me. So I took a paper towel and I grabbed it and I flung it off the balcony. I said, I'm not going to kill you, but the rest is up to you. Okay.
What do you mean I'm not going to kill you? What do you think flinging it off the balcony does? That's like mafia treatment.
Well, how do you think they get off out of a... Well, I guess when they come out of the cocoon, they've got wings. No, the reason... It'll be fine. They have low terminal velocity. It will land fine. I think it probably... Okay, it lands it on one of two things. It lands it either on...
I love
on,
that you turn it into like a Keanu Reeves movie.
Listen, and it'll be fine. So look, it lands it on one of two things. It either lands it on a bountiful hedge where there's more... There's all the leaves that a caterpillar could want, or it could have landed on a power line. I don't know which way it went, but it's... You know, it just, the point is this, I'm a mama too, to my dill, and I've been working on that dill, and I don't need a caterpillar. How did a caterpillar even get up there too? That's what I want to know. Like, what caterpillar was like, I sense that there's some dill three stories up. I'm going up there. I mean, I'm assuming it must have come in the dirt, right?
You've obviously never seen me in a basement close to a pizza shop. I'll scrape the ceiling of that basement off with my damn fingernails. By the way, I'm very sorry, Keanu Reeves. Terminal Velocity is starring Charlie Sheen. So the point is, today is all about Below Deck Sailing Yacht. It's
metamorphosis. Yeah. Like, season one of Below Deck Sailing Yacht was like a... was like a lowly, moody caterpillar that got into someone's dill and then got a cocoon that fell onto the floor. But season two is a beautiful butterfly, and we have this episode.
Yes. So here we are. Douchebag. Douchebag alert. It's douchebag season on Below Deck Sailing Yacht. Every season, there's at least one douchebag crew. And this is actually a repeat from last season with the douchebag. And I remember that guy. He's like, I've been asking for shrimp for 30 minutes, all right?
Oh, my goodness. That guy. Just the worst. The worst. So, we open up this episode with Gary and Sydney and Allie, and they're kind of like sort of in different stages of skinny dip. You know, Gary is full on naked. The girls are topless and they're jumping in the water, and it's like 2 a.m. They got a charter the next day. They're drunk. They're loud. And we get this shot of Glenn waking up in the middle of the night and sort of like looking at the camera, and you think he's going to pull a Captain Lee of like, this is too far. We've done, this is too much. We got to sail a yacht right now. We got to get the donkey dick up there, the sail, the mast. If we don't do this, if we don't get back into the yacht soon enough, the whole thing's going to sink. But instead he's just like, this is the reason why I never had children. I was like, wow, that's pretty light. That was a non-reprimand.
Yeah, he's like bringing a whole new attitude to this show, because I was just thinking, okay, Captain Lee would have had a heart attack. Captain Sandy probably would have promoted the male and fired the women, promoted the male and given him his own ship somewhere to go sail. And Captain Glenn is just like, wow, they're, how fun, you know? So Allie's like, damn, Sydney, you pushed me in and I smacked my ass really hard. And she's like, you were going to jump anyway. Because Sydney did push them both in. You know, she's that one who's like, ha-ha. It's like she pushes everybody in the pool and she thinks she's the life of the party. But then the people who have been pushed in the pool just dream of drowning that bitch one day.
Yeah,
I've been the other people, Sydney, okay?
Yeah, she's dropping bowling balls from the overpass onto the highway. We know what you're all about, Sydney. So so now they're like, you know, cavorting in the water, but it turns out it's really cold. So then Gary's like, hey, who's getting the towels? And so now he has to sort of like, you know, everyone's like awake because they hear all this. So we keep getting all these infrared shots of people waking up and sort of looking annoyed and everything. And Gary basically has to climb out of the water and get onto the dock naked and scamper into the boat and find some towels and bring them back to the ladies. And you know, and of course, Sydney is like,
he doesn't bring them out really to the ladies. They all have to crawl out anyway. I mean, Gary's such a gentleman, you know, and then they're doing that thing where this was supposed to be like that Wild Things moment where it's like really sexy and it's like two hot girls and it's like supposed to be really like bi and hot, but it's not. It's just sad Sydney pushing everybody in and then going, haha, I've already seen you naked, but it's so funny. It's like, we know you've seen him naked, okay?
Yeah.
Like, how much less romantic can this possibly be?
Yeah, that was her marking her territory. That was her, again, trying to establish he's mine, or whatever interest Allie might have in him, I'm going to remind her that he slept with me first. You know, it was like a very transparent, you know, joke right there. So,
and then every time she turns around, Gary and Allie come close together and they're like, oh yeah, let's flirt a bit. It's like, yeah, let's flirt a bit. And then she comes back and they're like, oh, the weather. Love the weather.
Love the weather. You know, this is, I mean, everything is Gary's fault. But he, you know, last episode, this didn't have to be this way. You know, she, like, Sydney, before she got really drunk, remember she like pretended she was looking for something and then like walked over to them and he's like, oh, you don't have to go away. You don't have to go away. And like he kind of invited her into this situation. I mean, I'm not letting her off the hook, and I will certainly have my opinions about Sydney as well. But I'm saying Gary elevated this situation and continues to elevate the situation on his end as well.
Yeah, he always falls for it because she always does lose something. Because this time she's like, where's my phone? Where is it? I can't find my phone. So she starts walking around, and then the second the other two get close, she like runs back over there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And he's like, you're so fucking hot. Where's my phone? Where's my phone? It's like, oh.
So he just, the girls go have a bow chat, and it's really sad to watch because Sydney's like, okay, look, I really like Gary. I'm not stupid enough. And like, I know you guys flirt. Like, I'm not dumb. Like, I'm literally not stupid. Okay. I'm not dumb. Okay. I'm not dumb. And Allie's like, well, she goes, I mean, I'm not dumb. Anything that you feel, I've seen. Okay. I'm not dumb. I'm really not dumb. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not dumb. And Allie's like, well, you know, we flirt and there's chemistry there. And then, you know, and then I'll just be like, nothing, you know, nothing. And then Sydney's like, she's like, I mean, I really like him. And like, what I'm saying is like, if you like him, I don't want you to stop. I mean, I just really, really, really like him. I don't know. I really like him. And so Allie, of course, is like, listen, I didn't realize you liked him as much as you do. And I'm so sorry if I've ever made you feel, you know. And so then Sydney starts crying. She's like, oh my God, I love you so much. I love you so much. So essentially, Allie has now said, for the second time, actually, that she is backing out of the race for Gary.
Yes, and what a race that is. So it's like a, you know, one-legged potato sack race.
Yeah.
It's like, why is this even a race? Who came up with this? So then Sydney, who still needs Allie to flirt, it's kind of like when you're always having to bring in a third in your relationship, because it's like, just get him up and then leave, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of what Sydney does, because she's like, let's run in. She's like, let's run in and surprise Gary. It's like, come on, just leave the girl alone. OK, if the girl doesn't get to flirt with him anymore, she shouldn't be able to flirt with him just to get him hard enough for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Because Gary at this point has already gone back to his bunk. And, you know, Colin was there like just ready for all the gossip. Like, what are you doing up? You want to talk about it? You want to talk about gossip? Anything? No. You want to ask about me? Want to know about my gossip? You want to know about my boat? Anything? Oh, you're asleep. OK, got it. I'll go to sleep as well.
So then basically Allie's like, because Sydney's saying she wants to get into bed with Gary, and Allie's like, do it. Do it. So she's telling her to. So Sydney's like, okay. So Gary's like, that's him dreaming. And she's like, I was told to come here, so I did. And he's like, who told you that? Allie did. He's like, oh, Bona, I'm going to Bona. He goes, I want Allie. And she says, yeah, I know, but she doesn't want to fuck you, so maybe you should just give up on that. It's like, wow. Right.
And then he turns around and he starts cuddling with her, by the way. And then Sydney starts saying, you know, you can work for us in Florida and it'll just be like normal. I mean, you can get paid. I mean, the money, it's not the same as yachting money, but it's almost the same. And like, you could work for me and you could have a family. I was like, what is this? What is this strange 19th century novel scenario you're weaving up? Like, you know, this is like that typical thing where you're reading a dry romance for 200 pages with like Madame Emily, and she meets Mr. Dorchester and they're falling in love, and Mr. Dorchester has to admit something. I'm sorry, Madame Emily. The truth is I'm working here on this boat because the woman who owns it pays me and has promised me to love her first. You know, it's like passion.
Yeah, I mean,
whatever.
We're no stranger to friend employees. You know, the housewives always have a few of them. It's like, these are my best friends, and also I pay them to be here. But I mean, to do that with a boyfriend, it's like straight into the, look, I know you just said you want another girl and not me, but my family can pay you. So, yeah. You know, I'll just keep rubbing your back. I mean, it's just sad.
It's
so
a little too intense.
It's the next morning, and Allie falls getting out of bed, you know.
Yeah, it was great. A real good fall. Yeah. We weren't even sailing yet. She's like, I wonder what it's like to be a cotton board. And she just like falls right out of the bed.
So Gary wakes up and now he has to crawl over Sydney. And he's like, what are you doing in my bed anyway?
Yeah. And she goes, and she's like, am I in your cabin? She's like pretending like she doesn't remember exactly how she got in there, you know, like, oh my God, like, I'm just like the chill girl. Like, am I here? Oh, that's crazy. What a crazy time we had last night. Have you thought about working for my family? Like, you could work for me. You could set up your own little shop, anything. God, what am I doing here?
Yeah. And he's like, how did I go to bed alone and wake up with Unique to me? She's like, I have no idea. So then she goes back to her room and she's telling Allie, I have no self-control. I have no self-control.
Mm-hmm. So then, meanwhile, Jean-Luc is moping around because he got woken up last night and he's still really annoyed about it, you know? And Glenn, meanwhile, he's just like as chipper as can be. He's just in the crew mess and he's like, well, another beautiful day in the neighborhood. Listen, I don't have much sympathy for self-inflicted wounds like people having to work hard with a hangover. You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, Like, as Celine Dion famously said, it's all coming back to me, the consequences to your actions. He's French Canadian,
so
by the way.
Jean-Luc is really pissed off because he's like, wow, you know, everyone tells me to shut the fuck up when I'm having fun, but then when I'm sleeping, they just go crazy, and this isn't fair. Blah! And Sydney checks in with Daisy, and she's like, oh, my God, I'm such a fuck-up, Daisy. What did I do? And Daisy just goes, you're all idiots.
Oh, you're one pita short of a stack. So then now Jean-Luc is with Colin and Gary, and they're talking, and Jean-Luc's being passive-aggressive. He's like, well, another wild night for you guys last night. Sort of for me as well, but not by my choice because I got woken up. I got woken up. It's like, quiet, Jean-Luc. So Colin's like, not me. Not a wild night for me. I was in bed. And I was being a good boy for my girlfriend. I have a girlfriend, by the way. Would you like to know her name?
Oh, anyway, I was skinny dipping. And then I woke up with someone next to me offering me jobs with their mother.
And Jean-Luc is like, oh, my God, Kling level 1,000. And I like that Gary is pretending that he doesn't remember anything either.
Yeah.
Like, you could have just said, get the fuck out of my bed and go to your room, you know?
Yes.
But, you know, you got to throw your leg on something warm. So
yeah, exactly.
I guess I can understand that.
So Gary is like, well, I was skinny dipping with the girls, and then I woke up and she was sitting in my bed. And then Colin's like, well, Sydney's falling in love with Gary, and it's only been about 3 weeks. I mean, I don't get it. It's just Gary. I know that when I fell in love with my girlfriend, man, that was an epic romance. Shall I tell the story?
Cut away. So Sydney is with Allie, and she's like, oh, my God, Allie. I mean, look, you just can't help who you fall in love with. And Allie's like, yeah, but Sydney, he flirts with me all the time, Sydney. She goes, yeah, I know, because we, like, talk about it. She's like, okay, but I don't want you to feel silly about it later on. And Gary hears them at the door and listens in, of course. And he's like, let's get to work. All right, let's get to work. Excuse me. So then he goes up to Allie and he's like, excuse me, but how would she be the one that feels silly when she's the one who jumps in bed?
Yeah. And Allie's like, Allie goes, back in Australia, when someone's annoying me, I eliminate them. I was like, whoa, eliminate them.
She's like a caterpillar on your dill plant. Just
I know.
She'll just throw someone off a damn balcony.
Is it a caterpillar on my dill? All right, throwing away. So Allie is like, well, you kissed her and then you slept with her last night. Do you know how that makes a girl feel? That's not fair. And he goes, I told her to get out the fuck out of my bed, and all he hears your voice saying to go on in.
She's like, yeah, but you know that she wants again. It's not right. He's like, I'm pissed off now. She's like, then go away, because I don't like you when you're pissed off.
So now they're in a snit. So yeah. Then he goes up and he pulls Sydney aside because he's going to lay down the law. So he's like, I went to bed alone last night and I wake up with you next to me. How did that happen? She goes, no, you didn't.
You're like, what? And she goes, I thought we had a conversation. I just don't remember. I think the way it worked was that you said, oh, Sydney, I can't wait to get out of this rat trap industry. I wish there was just some stable boat in Key West I could just work on till I turn a nice old man. I could be a regular Ernest Hemingway. If only there was some kind family to take me in. And I said, Gary, let's talk about it in bed. And you said, sure, get on in. That's what happened, Gary.
And he's like, yeah, but I got into bed with myself and I wake up with a girl next to me. It's not going to happen again. All right, now I'm sorry. And she goes, I'm sorry.
Because she like does that accent stealing thing, whoever she's talking to. I figured that's what it is. Because the whole season, we're like, what is her accent? It's like sometimes she has one and then she has like a crazy Dorit Kemsley accent.
Yeah.
And I think she's just an accent vampire. Like whoever she's talking to, she'll try and talk in their accent to like make them like her more. Sydney's a damn mess. And you know what? I actually kind of like Sydney, but I think liking her makes me cringe more for her because this is just bad now. Okay.
It
just
really
get on
is.
The dinghy and go back to your boat because you're embarrassing yourself.
Yeah, and Gary's like, well, obviously I put myself in this situation, but I've made it absolutely clear to Sydney where I stand, which is we'll absolutely not be sleeping together anymore until later tonight when I get drunk. And I say, where are you sleeping tonight, Sydney?
All right, time for a preference sheet meeting. Okay, guys, here we go again. We've had him once. We're going to have him again. His name is Frank Martini. Last time it was all girls, and it was like a testosterone competition, okay? I said the word donkey dick, and literally 10 donkey dicks were flying like sails, all right? We don't need that to happen again, guys, all right? And then we get the clip of, I've been asking for shrimp cocktails for half an hour.
And then the one dude just picking up, what's her face, Madison, and just like lifting her up. She's like, put me down, please put me down, please put me down. So I was like, oh, yeah. No, not these guys again.
Commercials, here comes one right now.
So Frank Martini this time around is bringing his wife Jessica and four of his friends. And he's really fond of his American-style breakfast. He loves an American-style breakfast. But there's also a vegan on board, and they want to do a casino night. And, you know, Gary's excited for that because he loves to gamble. So then Daisy's like, I'm really stressed about the Natasha thing. I mean, I've been like so mean, I feel really guilty. And it just seems like she's so stressed with the timing. And I just want to be more constructive to her.
You know, it's just the timing on the eggs Benedict. It's not my nature to throw someone under the Benedict, but I'm going to try and be more constructive with her.
Well, good luck with that. Then we cut to Natasha. And actually, Natasha's starting out with a good attitude today. She's like, I feel a bit defeated with the third charter. But when I left for Europe, it was when my grandmother died. And I was like, wow, you didn't do that badly. Like, save this.
Yeah.
Save this scene for later when you really fuck up.
You're literally dealing with monsters last week, okay, that all wanted different versions of steak. And, all wanted, you know, fries, potatoes, you know, like, oh, and by the way, people have been asking us a lot. We posted this last week, but people were asking us a lot about Saffron's steak mustache. It was not a real mustache. It was just a joke. They were saying she didn't actually take steak and smear it on her lips, because people were like, did she really have steak on her lips? It was just a joke, but it's a visceral image.
I know, because the picture I used was actually just a random picture on the internet.
But it was like,
oh my God, I see it. The steak mustache.
The steak mustache. It was like the perfect, you know, just exhibit of the steak mustache. But like, dad.
No, that's when you overfill your lips and overspray tan. So you've got like the lip line comes up like an awning at a restaurant. It like just kind of flips up instead of melding into the rest of your face, so it's like causing a shadow. And then you've also got like all that extra tanner, so it turns it into an au jus mustache.
And you've also been eating steak, and you might have gotten some butter on your lip, which just made everything just sort of like move around. All your lines kind of just moved. She just had a steak mustache, you know.
Yeah, so provisions get to the boat, and we can fix the tender now because the nipples are here. Tweak your nipples, everybody. God, I love some good old-fashioned humor.
Yeah. So, yeah, Colin gets to work. Colin and Gary fix the tender. Colin is, like, probably the most useful person that we've had on the Below Deck franchise, and just no one cares about him. So they're fixing that, and then they're talking about
Sydney, which is really hilarious, because Gary's like, well, I've got Sydney, but I really want Allie. And they're like, okay, the nipples have been replaced. I was like, wow, the irony of this scene is just beautiful.
Yes.
It's artistic.
And the lack of tenderness that is being displayed with the girls while also fixing a tender. So,
and it's presented by a total dinghy. So there you go.
So meanwhile, Jean-Luc is still being all emo in the galley about how he didn't get enough sleep last night. And he's like, and Danny's like, do you want a hug? He's like, I don't know. I'm like, you know what? Listen, I know you didn't get a lot of sleep, but you actually got more sleep than a lot of people on this yacht. So just like, you know, enough. Enough, Jean-Luc.
Yeah, so then is the Allie and Jean-Luc apology scene, which is not really an apology. So Allie goes up to Jean-Luc and she's like, sorry to wake you up. I didn't know you were asleep, but I just didn't really appreciate the way you were like, fuck off. And he goes, okay, cool. Because she's not really apologizing. She's like, sorry I woke you up, but I didn't know you were asleep. So
she's made herself the victim here, right? Because he's like, well, I just really value my sleep when I don't ever get it. And which is like, no, it's like you're always sleeping. Once you've gotten to your new bed, you're always sleeping. But it's like, you're not that, like, Allie, he had every right to say, get the fuck out. Like, you were waking him up. Regardless of his attitude today, you were waking him up. And he's like, well, you were just like, you know, you just kept on egging me on and like you wouldn't leave. And she's like, oh, don't worry about it. Never mind. And she just like storms off.
And he's like, I'm just, look, you know, she's like, I'm saying sorry. And you're like, la, 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 la. And he goes, okay, so you want me to say sorry that you woke me up? And she's like, no, I want you to say sorry for fucking off. And he's like, okay, well, I'm sorry for the language I used to express fuck off or whatever.
Yeah.
And she's like, fine.
And he's like, the feelings are way too tight around here. I'm like, well, you were the one who has been like mumbling all morning about how you didn't get enough sleep last night. So don't talk about tight feelings, okay? Because you're pretty tight right now yourself, sir. But Allie's being ridiculous.
Allie goes up to Gary and she's like, listen, I just want to say to you, I don't want issues with you. I'm struggling because of me pa. And I just want to get through the chatter and the negativity is weighing on me. So let's just be normal friends. And he's like, that's it. Sweet.
Are you serious? She goes, the way you spoke to me this morning is bullshit. And she's like all mad, which is funny because she just got mad at JL for the way he spoke to her. And now she doesn't. And now she has like no patience for Gary saying the same thing to her.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So then Gary is telling Colin, he's like, this morning she told me to fuck off. And he's like, oh my God, John Luke just had to apologize for that. Oh, you know, that reminds me, one time I told my wife to fuck off because I actually just burnt myself on a pan.
Hey, man, do we have any sort of bacon for breakfast? I'm just really hungry. I don't know. This is the pillows are talking.
Ali's like crying in the bathroom.
Ali, are you good in there? What is wrong with ya?
So she tells, yeah, she talks to Daisy and Daisy hugs her and Allie's like, I just needed a moment to cry. And she's like, oh, you've got some drama and you've been really brave, girl, really brave.
Yeah. And she's just, yeah, basically Allie is just like, she hasn't cried yet about her grandpa. And Daisy's like, well, you know, Gary's a real shithead for stirring the drama, but we have such a long day ahead of us. Who knows how many pages we're going to have to count, so you better get your head right in it, Allie.
So toilet paper folds and cleaning. So then Allie and Gary are talking again, and she's like, listen, I've just really been holding it in, and the disagreement with you is the last thing I wanted. And he's like,
well, that's why I came to speak with you. I was out of line for sure. Friends? Are we friends?
Well, he says, I don't like seeing you down. And I'm like, you are like, he says it in such a cheery way as if he was not the one who like came at her earlier this morning. I was like, you're the one who's like, don't act like, oh, you're just this friend on board who had nothing to do with her being in such a bad mood. Like you were obnoxious to her. So he's like, well, I just felt bad.
He heard them talking about her and her telling Sydney, like, don't be with him. He's just like using you or whatever. Yeah. He's telling you one, you know, so he's all mad that's how she sees him.
I'm just saying now it just felt so fake where he was like, oh, I hate seeing you. So either way, they're just like, they're cool. He's like, I just felt so bad. I was just trying to calm down. And I know you're going through a tough time in your life. You know, friends, huh? Fuck buddies, maybe. I don't know.
So 6 minutes, the guests are coming. So Gary and Sydney are talking and he's sitting down and she's standing like touching knees with him, you know, like, God, this fucking Sydney.
Yeah.
Never learned. Like she will never listen. Like no means yes. Okay. So he's like, listen, I'm sorry I spoke to you like that. You know, in no way was I inviting you to come over into my bed. And I just want to make sure there's no line to cross again. She's like, oh my God, thank you for taking away the line so I can sit on your lap now because I felt that line between us and it was really stressing my out. My mother is going to love you.
So now here comes the bro charter, and already we hear them like, hey, that girl over there's got some hot, you got some hot hips over there, huh? I like those hips. Nice hips. Whoa,
that girl got abs. Didn't one of them say something about their abs? I was like, wow. And one guy goes, where's the boat? And they're like, it's in the water, douchebag.
Hey.
Hi, my name is Daisy. I'm your chief steward.
Hey, Daisy's my favorite flower. Hey. She's like, I have not heard that one before.
Look at this one. This guy's so tall, he's going to cast a shadow on me. That's for sure.
By the way, like, this guy, Frank, who is the primary, he's like in his 50s. And all these guys are like in their, you know, early 30s or something like that. Why is he friends with these people? Why is he, are these guys who like work in his boiler room? Like, who are these guys?
I don't know. Oh, you mean boiler room like the finance?
Yeah, like this, like these, like it's like he's like, all right, guys, whoever sells the most leads for Jen Shaw gets to come on a yacht for me. Okay.
Yeah, the most penny stocks wins, boys. Get to it.
Yeah, I'm like, who? Like, why are you socializing with? And of course, and so he also has his wife Jessica, who's like, "Hi, I'm Jessica." So then,
she's like, "I'm a self-proclaimed trophy wife, Jessica." Yeah. I mean, usually I want my trophy wives to be like, "Hi." I want my trophy wives to be like, "Hi, I'm Jessica, the trophy wife."
"Hi, I'm Jessica. I sort of look like Lori from Shark Tank, but I give you Katie Seagal energy."
"Revel. I'm the least fun trophy wife you'll ever meet in your life, Jessica."
"I'm Jessica. There's nothing more to say, really, because I'm just Jessica."
So Daisy's taking drink orders, and Aiden, who's kind of the chunky vegan, which I love how on these shows the vegans are always the chunky ones. It cracks me up. Cracks me up because that's me. I'm like, I'm a pescatarian. And everyone's like, mm-hmm. Which to me is basically like saying I'm a breaditarian, you know?
Yeah.
But Aiden's like, "Hey, I have a white wine spritzer." "I'm kidding. If I order a white wine spritzer, just punch me in the fucking face, huh?"
I'm like, "You're the vegan." "You're the vegan. Why are you shaming? Why are you shaming spritzers?" Oh, I just pulled on my cable. Sorry. I hope that doesn't mess up my audio. If my audio sounds drastically different from now to the rest of the episode, that's because I just bopped my cable. Sorry, everyone.
Got it right in the donkey dick. So yeah. Daisy's like, "What time would you like to have dinner?" "9. I'll let the chef know." So she, I'm worried about Daisy and Natasha because it's not going well between those two. The passion aggression is growing and growing. So I'm kind of hoping that flower blooms today.
Yeah. So Jessica's like, "How about dinner around 9 o'clock? I am Jessica." So now it's time to go. It's time to go sailing. Let's get those sails up. So things are sailing. We're going diagonal. Things are falling over. And you know, it's the usual pandemonium. And at one point, like, Daisy is serving shots to the guys, and a guy like knocks over a shot glass. And Daisy's like, "This is why I don't date Americans." I'm like, "Listen, these guys are all douchebags, but, like, you know, that's, I think knocking over shot glass is a pretty, no, like, it's pretty human."
I think
human.
She was saying that because they're like, "Whoa, got one down, Daisy, oh. Yeah. Whoa,
I was
whoa,
like,
whoa, this one's on me, baby. Whoa, yeah, I got balance like a gold on a log." Or, like, they were saying all these.
Oh, I thought it was because he knocked over the shot glass. I was like, that is a human quality.
No, they're just thinking they're being hilarious. So she tells Natasha, she's like, "All right, they're going to have dinner at 9. And she's like, "Okay." And she goes, "Do you want to stick your preference sheets on the fridge just for your benefits?" And Natasha's like,
like, "No, kill this I do not bitch. Want that." So, so then in the back in the sailing, everything is like, so everything's diagonal. And that guy, Aiden, he's like, "Hey, Daisy. If you feel that the lean draws you to me, I'm right here. And I'm like, this is probably the real reason why he wants to come on this boat, because he's probably too lazy to actually, like, properly hit on a woman. He just has to wait for gravity to send someone into his lap.
That's how I am. I mean, when I order Instacart, I look at the picture on the of the delivery person. I'm like, "Oh my god, is this my lucky day? Is it my husband today?" And if they're, like, even kind of cute, I will shower. I'll get some nice clothes on. Girl, I need it to be easy. I get it, boy.
So now everyone's getting dressed for dinner, and, like, the anchor goes down, and but then it's they're getting dressed, but then are they swimming? I don't know, but Aiden gets into truly one of the worst shirts we've seen. It's like teal, but also leopard print, and it's all mishmashed together. It's pretty terrible.
I like to think it's like Captain Lee 30 years ago, you know, like Captain Lee hitting the town.
Like, I feel like he bought it in Great Neck, New York. Like, I think that he went to, remember in Princess's Long Island, remember Babs? Babs had a boutique, and because she was, what was her name? Amanda's mom. Babs brought the wishbone dressing. I feel like he went to Babs' boutique in Great Neck, and he's like, "Hey, that one looks good. If you ever see me in a white wine spritzer in this shirt, kill me right now, okay? Okay.
Punch me in the fucking face, all right?
Punch me in the face with a white wine spritzer. Okay, I'm going to take the teal shirt with the leopard's prints, okay?"
So then Colin, poor Colin, he always gets stuck in the kitchen listening to Natasha and her TMI moments, right?
Because he loves gossip. He loves it.
I know. But every time it's just Colin, she's like, you know what? You know why I'm sad? Because I was homeless. You want to know about it? Well, let me tell you. And then she tells him the whole thing. So today she's like, do you know what my spirit animal is? The phoenix. Do you know why? He's like, well, my wife would. We actually lived in Phoenix at one point. It's because they rise up from the ashes. He's like, oh, Jesus Christ.
It's not even a real animal.
Here every time.
Yeah. Poor Colin. But I think he goes in there because no one else will talk to him. Everyone just sort of doesn't even notice him. So tonight I'm going to make a meal that's inspired by my favorite chef. So, and she's like, the only critique that will come from Daisy is that her mouth will finally be shut, or something like that. I didn't quite understand what she was saying, but the gist of it was that she just hopes Daisy will be silent, right? So,
yeah.
So then Gary tells Sydney to go to sleep at 11 no matter what, even if they ask for help with dishes. And she's like, because he says, yeah, they're going to sleep during the day, so don't help with the dishes, blah, 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 blah. And they keep on showing him the rest of the episode yawning a lot, which I think was sort of to imply maybe that like later when he does help with the dishes, like he's so tired and he's helping with the dishes, but I just don't have any sympathy for him because he stayed up till 2 a.m. drinking. So I have no yawn sympathy.
So Brad, some guy named Brad is like, wow, flower lady, you look fresh. What a fresh flower. She's like, all right, can we let Natasha know the guests are here? And Aiden's like, hey, you took my seat. I was the one who was front and center. And I was like, wow, a Real Housewives of Potomac fight. Right here on Below Deck Sailing Yacht.
Yeah. And then Jessica makes her grand debut in her dress, which is exactly what you think Jessica's dress would look like. Sort of like just strange straps going in strange directions. Like it was very much like a prostitute dress. I'm not saying she's a prostitute or a hooker. I'm just saying the dress would normally be worn by a prostitute or a hooker.
Excuse me, I think you're using the wrong term. The term is trophy wife dress. I'm Jessica.
The term is elegance, okay?
So they get their burrata salad, and you know, the guys are loving it, all right? And she's for the steak course, because that's, I mean, she really does kind of serve the same thing all the time. And this is another big difference in the Below Deck franchises. This one, no one really cares, and they probably shouldn't. I mean, it's different charters, right? Well, sometimes she does serve the same thing a lot on the same charter, but I mean this is a different charter, so it's okay that she's kind of serving the same things. That's, and there I are think. No muscles yet, so
yeah, no muscles anywhere on the boat. So so for this she's making It's a steak, but it's supposed to celebrate the flavors of Italy. So she has like sauces on the plate, and then she's sort of like smashing them with her spoon. So it makes this like very intense splatter, which I thought was cool, but it was like to me, it was actually a little bit overdone. And I thought it looked kind of, I think she overdid it. I thought it looked kind of,
it looked like
crazy.
Someone blew up Christmas, you know? they get their sauce splattered plate. And they get the sauce splatter plate, and one of the guy goes, oh my God, I thought it was a mafia hit. And then like a neon caterpillar like splats onto the plate from Ben's balcony.
Well, don't tell Jessica, because Jessica sees it and goes, this looks like an art piece.
This looks like trophy wife art. I'll take it. One of the sauces, by the way, is a roasted potato foam. Listen, you people with your foams, okay? I get it. I get that you get off on making it look like you spit on someone's dishes. You know, I think that's like the ultimate thing in fancy chefery, when you're like, finally, I can just spit on someone's plate and they have to fucking take it and pay me top dollar for it. But a roasted potato foam, I'm not sure.
I would
about
be
that.
Very upset with a roasted potato foam, because I would just be like, why can't I just have roasted potatoes? I think that's foams don't bother me as much as they bother you, but I think if I were given some sort of potato foam instead of the actual potato, I would be upset. So then this is the one moment where Aiden made me chuckle. Is when this guy Dylan is eating his food and goes, oh man, I'm gonna get full before the end. And Aiden just goes, take it easy, you muppet. Easy for you to say. You're eating vegan food, okay? You're not eating giant steaks.
So Sydney goes to bed, and then they get their last course, which is a lemon curd with a bite of capers and a limoncello shot.
So they all love it. They all love it. And they're all so full. They love it. They love it. They love it. So then Natasha's feeling great. She feels like she's back in her zone. And now we go over to Colin talking to Jean-Luc. And he goes, so what do you reckon? Who's going to be Gary's next hookup, right? Little gossip session. I want to do a little gossip. You know, I love me some gossip. And if you feel like turning the tables on me and asking me some salacious questions, I mean, I wouldn't say no. I mean,
I think it's probably going to be Allie. And he's like, oh, well, when are you going to hook up, bro? When are you going to hook up? Oh, I remember when I first met a beautiful lady named, well, I already made out with Danny.
And Colin literally says what we've suspected all along. He goes, I'm embarrassed by how much I'm enjoying this gossip. Man, it feels so good to cut it up with all my friends. Where are you guys? Hello? Am I just the only one out here?
Donkey Dick, will you listen to my story? It's like,
oh, man, the Donkey Dick just fell off again.
The Donkey Dick is swimming away.
And so meanwhile, then we cut to
the guys, and yeah. one of the guys is like, yo, Dandelion, this was awesome.
I think it's Aiden. Aiden has an inside joke with himself where he calls Daisy a different like flower every time. So now he's on Dandelion, which is technically a weed. And also just disrespectful and just obnoxious, but he thinks he's being hilarious. And I think he just thinks he's like more charming than he really is.
Oh, well, don't we all?
That's true. Welcome to Watch What Happens.
So it's bedtime now. And Gary's like, we're not going to do shit for those girls. And Colin's like, actually, I'm going to go down and do some dishes. And he's like, well, thanks for making me look like a bastard. So he goes down and helps.
Yeah. And Gary's like, I fucking hate dishes. I know we can help the girls, but like, fuck me. Fuck me. And meanwhile, they start doing the dishes. Then all of a sudden, all the girls are just like nowhere to be found. Allie's sitting in her bed, and Danny and Daisy are just like talking over in another room. And Daisy's like,
I can't tell you how happy I am that the guys are chipping in for that initiative by calling. That was such great initiative. I have to remember to ask him a little bit about what Gary's up to. You know, that's what I need to know. I need to know more about Gary.
So Colin is like, well, I'm going to get pissed if I end up being the dishes guy. Hi, you're the dishes guy. You've been the dishes guy. What do you think is going to change? Okay,
don't act like you don't love it. He's like, oh, I'll be real pissed if I'm the dishes guy, but I'll be real happy if I'm the guy with the dish. If you know what I'm saying. Hey, anyone? You don't want to cut it up a little bit, huh? Yeah.
So he goes to bed and he tells Gary, he's like, should we lock the door so Sydney doesn't come in? Funny. So then Daisy is bringing drinks. I wrote binge drinks, but I think I meant Daisy brings drinks.
She might have binged some drinks too. And then Jean-Luc and Danny are chatting and, you know, whatever. So then Allie is she's talking to Sydney and asking if Sydney kissed Gary or something. And Sydney's like, no, all we did was just like sleep in the guest cabin together. It was sort of like, you know, it was like a practice run for when he comes over to Key West and starts working for my family. And then he starts his own family, but he's working for me, and we have like a lot of romantic tension, and maybe we have an affair. I don't know, just workshopping some thoughts about the future. I don't know.
And then she tells us, well, I mean, it hurts because, like, you know, I'm closest to Gary, and so this isn't ideal, you know? I mean, you break up with someone, and you still have feelings for that. You were not dating Gary! What is wrong with you?
You never broke up. There's nothing to break up from if you were never together, Sydney. Like, part of me wonders if the producers are just doing her dirty, if they are like, what's it like to break up with someone? How does it feel when you break up with someone? She goes, well, when you break up with someone, it's hard, and they just, like, throw that in there. Like, I suspect that might be happening, but then her behavior kind of suggests that, no, she may actually think that she's broken up with Gary.
Oh, my God. And Sydney goes, you know, I just really need to be with someone. I need, like, someone next to me. And Allie says, you need to change that. So then we go to Danny.
I mean, who else could be next to you? I mean, we got Gary. We got JL. We got Captain Glenn. Is there any? There's no one else. If only there was one more man on this boat. Oh, well.
So Danny's like, Danny is having an awkward flirt sesh with Jean-Luc, who, it's just so funny that they're trying to make this like, wow, let's go to some sparkling sexy flirting with Danny and Jean-Luc, and Jean-Luc never has anything to say, and he never seems to really understand what anybody else is talking about either, right?
No, literally not. He's just like in his own head listening to Fish or something.
Yeah, she's like, so if you were to pick between Sydney and Allie, who would you pick? And he goes, you? She's like, oh, that's so romantic.
Yeah. And then they have some patter about why there's so much more work on a sailing yacht than a motor yacht. And then basically they just like go to a little corner and make out for a little bit. So I have to say their romance doesn't bother me too much because we've just had so many like really terrible romances that, you know, I'm just still traumatized from Jessica and Rob on Below Deck Med that this is like nothing for me. Or also Elizabeth and what's his face last season on Below Deck. James. So now it's day two and the deck is a mess. Once again, Jean-Luc did not do anything. He did not wash anything down. So he complains all the time about not getting sleep. But then when he's awake, he's also very ineffective. Well, I guess that would correlate. So then Daisy's with Allie and she's like, yesterday was a complete shift. Our service was so good. Natasha was good. It was a completely different day. Nothing could go wrong today, especially as we serve a good old-fashioned American breakfast right now.
Aiden is wearing that crazy shirt and one of the guys is like, we're gonna have a seizure looking at your outfit, Aiden. Jesus.
Yeah.
So Daisy takes a whole lot of egg orders and here we go. Eggs, Natasha's biggest weak spot. Okay. Yeah. It's always like a Top Chef episode when they order the eggs. It's always terrifying, right? Mm-hmm. So she takes them to Natasha and she's like, she does them and then she's like, okay, here are two over easy eggs. And she's like, over easy, because they're scrambled eggs.
They're scrambled, right? Just like,
they're like
some
runny
are loose.
Scrambled.
Yeah,
they're runny, right. Scrambled, but they're scrambled. And so Daisy's like, are you sure, lass? And she's like, yes, I'm sure. Two over easy eggs. And she's like, it's quite clearly scrambled eggs. I clearly see it, but she won't listen. So here we go. It's another shit breakfast with shit eggs.
So she's basically like willing to, she knows she's serving the wrong thing, but she's willing to do it because she knows it's going to fall back on Natasha rather than correct her. Right. So she brings out these shit eggs. And by the way, we should also mention that Aiden, when he saw Daisy in the morning, he's like, hey, morning sprinkles. I'm like, you're not even doing flowers anymore. Now you're just coming up with just like stupid things to call her. So she brings the scrambled eggs to Jessica, because of course Jessica ordered the over easy. And she's like, this doesn't look like an over easy egg. What's this? You call this an over easy egg? I'll tell you what this isn't. It's not a piece of art. That's for sure.
I'll tell you what this is. This is a normal wife egg. All right. I'm looking for a trophy wife egg. Could you please take this back?
Listen, I know winners and I know losers, okay? And this is not a winner. Catch me on Shark Tank.
And Natasha's like, why does breakfast have to be stigmatized as eggs?
I don't think it's stigmatized as eggs. I think it's like often, you know, revolved around eggs, but not limited to that. Yeah, she just starts saying things. She's like, let me just make something for you. I'll just make something that's not fucking eggs. So then, so she's now like making like the other way, you know, like the proper way, etc. And there's this guy named Anthony who's up there, Annie, and he's like, he's all mad because he feels forgotten about because he doesn't have his eggs. And he's like the most muscular. So he's like one of those annoying muscular dudes who's like, if I don't get my eggs, I'm going to waste away. You know, like there's something about like muscular guys who are like very preoccupied with eggs at all times. Like if you've ever met a muscular guy, they're like, yeah, hold on a second, I just gotta go eat my egg whites right now, excuse me, I eat my eggs.
Yeah, my brother-in-law used to have a stack of Men's Fitness on the toilet, which, you know, to anyone who grew up gay, like
it's the dream.
It's like, living the dream, bro. And he used to work out all the time and he would eat like 12 eggs a morning. Like, yeah. That was just his thing.
It's
like,
a crack, thing.
Crack. Yeah, so this guy's like, where's my eggs? I've been waiting for my eggs. God, what is that chicken being born? What is she hunting for chickens over there? I put a timer on my watch for those eggs. She's probably doing it on a single skillet. You know, get a flat top or something. Which, yeah, boom. This is one of those Below Decks where it's in Below Deck tradition, you want to hate the guests and stick up for the crew, but he's right. Like, it cuts to her doing like a single egg on a skillet and then taking it off. It's like, you're doing eight eggs, okay?
Yeah, you can do like, get a larger pan and put them all out there. But he's also doing that thing where he's like, eggs are my staple. He's acting like if he doesn't have his eggs, like he will literally die. Like, we have 30 more seconds with this guy alive on this world because he doesn't have his eggs yet, which is like what always happens. So he finally gets his eggs and then he just eats them like a crow. Like, it's like, you know, when you see a crow on the road, just like picking at things and their wings are like all around around it. Like, he's just like, eggs, eggs, eggs. I'm like, okay, relax. You are a little bit too in up about, the, like, too into these eggs right now.
Yeah, he's like, I'm pretty easy going, but I need 8 eggs a day.
I need him. I need him. He says it as if this is like a novelty. Like this is like a the secret to his success. I'm like, you know, every muscular guy always says the same thing. I need my eggs. I eat like 8 eggs a day. I'm like, congratulations, you are a muscular man.
Got to keep up those muscles. So then down in the galley, Natasha's like, wow, JL, you always come across as so calm, no matter what. And he's like, yeah, well, you know what's not going to change? Is me giving you that impression. Wink.
And also doing my job. So, or not doing it. So now there's like fun stuff in the water, and then an alarm goes off down in the bilge. So Colin has to like go, he has to go kind of like, the bilge is, I think it's the bilge. It's that space that's like under the floor where like all the machinery is and all that stuff. So he goes down there to tend to this alarm. And so there's like a hatch that's open, right? And so then of course Aiden's like, hey, I want to go see the galley. Hey, Sprinkle Daisy Dandelion Face Scale. Can we go see a buttercup, huh? Can we see the galley? So they start giving him like a tour, like behind the scenes. They're going on this tour and they want to see where all the stews sleep. They want to see the whole thing. So Daisy's like, oh, there's a hatch that's open. Do you mind if I just close this for a little bit? I'm sure there's no one down there. Certainly no one who's worth asking a question about. That's for sure. I'm just going to close this right now and we'll give a tour. So over here, we'll just stand here and give everyone. That's a bed. That's a bed. That's a bed. That's a bed. That's a Peter. And that's another bed. Okay, we're done.
And so poor Colin gets stuck down there. And the guys are like, wow, look at that. You live in a hole. Whoa, look at that. So this is how the other half lives, right? And then Colin gets stuck down there.
He's like, boom, 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 boom.
Allie's like, Daisy, you forgot to let Colin out of there.
Who? Who am I supposed to be calling right now? Colin. Who am I supposed to be calling? Who? Colin, you have to call. Colin's downstairs. Why would I want to call downstairs? What do I need to call downstairs? Colin.
So Sydney and Allie are talking about lipstick. Because I guess Sydney's going to, Allie needs to borrow some or something. And they talk about like prostitute red lipstick. And she's like, well, that's like a regular red, but this is prostitute red and it won't smudge off. And then Aiden is coming down to dinner. He wants to move dinner to 8:15. And Daisy's like, sure, no problem. We'll move dinner to 8:15. No problem. Natasha, can we move dinner to 8:15? And she's like, no, you told me 9. She goes, well, if you can't, I can tell them. No, I got it. And tell them we'll be having Ben and Jerry's and cotton candy too.
By the way, Daisy, this is what happens when you make smaller serving sizes, okay? They get hungrier and they want their dinner earlier, okay? So so now Daisy is talking with Natasha in the galley and she's like, okay, can we go over the menu? Can we say, what are you making? What are you making for dinner tonight? So Natasha's saying like, there'll be this and there'll be that, there'll be that. And then Daisy's like, okay, my only constructive criticism is to keep the portions smaller. And Natasha's like, the portions were small last night. She goes, no, I think that they thought they were quite big. And she's like, no, it's very small, I'm telling you. I'm doing this a long time. She's like, well, I'm just giving you some positive feedback. And Natasha just goes, no.
No.
No. By the way, it was not positive feedback. It was not at all. And I don't think the portion, they were full, but I don't think the portion size was a problem for them.
Well, the guests were saying, oh, we're too full. We can't even eat dessert or whatever. But
they're being dramatic.
I don't know that that's a bad thing. I don't think I've ever heard a guest be like, oh, my God, the portions there were too small. I mean, Cheesecake Factory would be out of business. People love a gigantic portion.
Yeah, no, that was just performative fullness. That's where you say it so that way people don't think that you're just like, you know, a human vacuum cleaner.
Oh, yeah, but, where people are like, oh, my God, he hardly eats. I wonder why he's overweight. That's crazy. Poor thing. Must be medical.
I'm so full. Fine. I'll have dessert. It wasn't like real full. It wasn't real full. No food was coming back, you know?
So Natasha, it ends with Natasha saying, if she wants me to be a fucking bitch, I'll be one. Ooh. So I guess we'll get to see that next week.
Yeah, we will. A good old-fashioned portion size fight. So we'll see. We will see.
Well, everybody, thank you so much for being here. We will be back tomorrow with some Real Housewives of Dallas, okay? And this week's bonus is a Real Housewives of Beverly Hills frame-by-frame preview episode, okay?
Well, yeah.
So
trailer preview.
Trailer. Well, we're going to be the audio of that is going to actually that's going to be a free one for everyone to hear. But we're also going to be doing it at Crappens on Demand. So if you want to watch our trailer breakdown. You can go to patreon.com and you can just sign up at Crappens on Demand level. And then for Atlanta and Married to Medicine, that will be our proper bonus episode. So if you're wondering where those recaps are, we have traffic jam of content. So we said, you know what? We're going to put it on the bonus.
One of them's got to move, people. So we will see you tomorrow. Thanks so much for being here.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C.
Dana Do.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie,
she's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan lettuce.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica, 500 Days of Summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible, edible Matthews Sisters.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.